This is the science of deliberate creation, and this tape, entitled Death and Deterioration, is the third tape of a 10-tape album. And this album, Special Subjects Volume 2, was recorded by Abraham in 1991. Recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and the unauthorized duplication of this cassette is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and your purchase of these materials fulfills that intention. Plus, you also help us to afford the means to connect with other seekers, and Esther and I are most appreciative of your role in this joyous growth experience. For additional tapes, books, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Science of Deliberate Creation workshop, please call 755-2299, area code 830, or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690070, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abraham-hicks.com.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Abraham.
We are pleased to interact upon this most important topic.
It is. It is. You know what I'd like to ask? What I had in mind, or what at least the value I'd like for this tape to be, would be in its clarity to clarify the understanding of this process, this changing process, evolving process of physical life. And I'd like each of the listeners to be able to personally discover a way to live the remainder of this physical lifetime free of this fear of change that so often inhibits people, and free of a fear of death, and free of the fear of the unknown beyond this physical experience. And so that's what I'd like to see this tape cover, if you'd like to do that.
We are also wanting these things. Mm. It is interesting to note that, for the most part, physical man and woman, we see you all the same. When you think in terms of change, in many cases you feel lack or negative about it. And yet, most of you are not in a place that you would consider to be perfection or where you are wanting to be. And so the idea of not wanting to change, and yet the idea of not liking where you are, it leaves you in a place where it seems that there are no options or no ways out. When you are understanding what we are understanding, and that is that all things are in an eternal state of change, mm-hmm. then you do not resist change, but instead you enjoy the natural and very blissful unfolding or motion forward. When you see a small child, let us say there is a little girl, and you anticipate what is before her, you could horrify her if you were to describe to her in this moment all of the change that would be taking place. Her body is going to get bigger, she is going to stretch within her skin, and all sorts of things that she is not experiencing now, mm-hmm. she will experience later. And the point of that analogy is, when you are looking too far into the future, almost always you feel discomfort about the way you will deal with it, because your basis or background for dealing with it are not yet your experience. Mm-hmm. And so there is such a great crevasse of lack between where you stand now and the way you feel in your ability now and that which you will feel at that time. And so much of the discomfort with change or with that which is to come comes from trying to take life in too big of bites. What we're encouraging is that you live life in your now and not worry so much about what is in the future and not spend so much time regurgitating the past.
I guess that the proverbial first man and woman would have been in the position of not being able to anticipate any of that, because there's no one around to tell them that that was a possibility.
We have a bulletin for you there, and that is that the first man and woman did not come forth alone. That is a fairy tale of extreme distortion.
Let me offer an analogy here to you. Our earthly agreement, or what I'd call our systems of experience, is going to be affected by the law of gravity. In other words, it holds us onto the earth and so on. And we can alter its appearance by either flying or jumping and so on. In other words, we speak of defying gravity. But the closer to the earth, the heavier the experience of gravity, while the further we move away from the earth itself, the less effect the earth agreement has on us, on our physical beings. So is not our earthly agreement or our systems of experience such that our physical bodies will also, it will experience systematic change or evolution, or what we used to say, from dust to dust? And so we can alter the appearance of that evolution cosmetically or through thought, but as long as we remain close to this physical earth, will we not have to abide by that maturation agreement the same as we do with the law of gravity?
Certainly, you have entered into many agreements as you've entered into this physical time and place. Mm-hmm. And gravity is one of those very powerful, undeniable agreements. Change is another one. Evolution is another one. Continual becoming is another one. What we are talking about upon this recording is not stopping change, not defying growth or evolution. What we are talking about is joyfully and blissfully becoming, rather than becoming decrepit and uncomfortable and unhappy as your physical body deteriorates, right, or disintegrates.
Right. Okay, relative to that progression of our physical bodies, where do our choices end and the current, what I'll call, forces of nature begin? Is there any point that where are we limited and where are we unlimited relative to that? Or is that too big a topic to get into right here?
It is not too big of a topic. It is a little bit difficult to nail down the specifics of it. Truly, you have no limitations. And then we turn right around and say, right, but you cannot live forever in this body.
Right.
And so you say, well, then that is a limitation. When we speak of no limitation, of course, we are speaking from broader perspective.
Right.
And we do not see the coming into this physical body as any sort of a limitation, and we do not see the leaving of this physical experience as any sort of a limitation. It is all just part of the process of growth and the process of joy and the process of freedom along the way. But it is often not very comforting to our physical friends who are listening to this recording fully from the perspective of their physical experience, to listen to some non-physical friend always talking from broader perspective where there are no limitations. Mm-hmm. And so for the purpose of this recording, since we're talking about physical bodies, mm-hmm, we will bring our discussion as clearly as we can into the way that we encourage those of you who are standing in physical bodies to have the fullest and most satisfying, most productive physical life experience.
Good. Well, I know you've taught us that the negative expectations are what brings us the negative results. So how could we find, and then of course release, any beliefs that are at the root of any negative expectations that we may have regarding this subject, the maturation process of our physical beings?
We could offer you, as have many others, some long drawn out processes for digging inside of you and ferreting out all of those beliefs that are now inhibiting you, or those conflicting beliefs that are now in the way. But there is a much simpler way, and that is wanting to acknowledge your value, wanting to acknowledge your goodness, and simply looking for evidence of it. If you were not so quick to accept what your physical world teaches, which is that you are unworthy beings here to prove yourselves worthy of something else, and instead you would listen to your own heart, watch the children. The children are not feeling guilty or unworthy until they are touched by others who are shaking their finger and casting their blame and disapproval. If you would look inside or listen inside or feel for the emotion that comes from within you, and if you really wanted to feel good about yourselves, more of you would. Anytime you are feeling negative emotion, that is a signal or a warning bell that the thought that you are currently thinking in the moment of the negative emotion is not in harmony with your greater wanting. And if your greater wanting is to be good and to be of value and to be worthy, and you feel negative emotion when you are looking at yourself and feeling unworthy, that is a very strong indicator that it is the thought about your unworthiness that is out of place, not you as a being actually being unworthy, you see. This business of helping our physical friends find their place of value or of worthiness is not a simple process, because most of you have spent a very long time, almost all of your physical life experience, looking for evidence that is to the contrary of your worthiness. Usually you are very, very old before you realize that others in their disapproval of you did not show you the route to happiness. What really is required is making a decision that you're wanting to feel good, making a decision that you're wanting to feel your joy. And once you've made that decision, then you can, thought by thought, using your guidance system to help you know whether you are focused upon a thought that harmonizes your greater, with your greater knowing, or whether you are not. Thought by thought, you can ferret out those beliefs that are getting in the way of your true joy and getting in the way of your really doing that which you have come here to do. If you will make a statement, I want to feel good. Nothing is more important than that I feel good. Mm-hmm. And then you will pay attention to the way that you are feeling as you are thinking one thought or another, or speaking one word or another. And soon it will become very clear to you that you always feel bad when you're being critical of yourself, or when you're being critical of others, or when you're focused upon lack of some kind. And you always feel good when you are looking for reasons to feel good, when you are looking for reasons to uplift. Hmm. And soon you will begin to discover that what feels bad is thinking thoughts that don't harmonize with greater knowing. And some of the thoughts that feel the very worst to you are thoughts, I am disintegrating, or I am vulnerable, or I am a victim, or I can't control my body experiences. The thoughts that feel the very worst to you are the thoughts of limitation. And so as you discover that, as you start to make that absolute association between these thoughts of debilitation, or these thoughts of unworthiness, or these thoughts of deterioration, and the negative emotion, then you can simply guide your thinking mechanism a little bit more deliberately. And you find yourself not being so willing to ponder the thoughts that bring forth the negative emotion. And once you get in the habit of thinking thoughts that make you feel better, then you'll be in the place where you are more often attracting what you are wanting. You see, the debilitation of the body, the deterioration of the body, everything that you would consider to be negative that happens to your body always happens for one reason and one reason only. And that is because you are allowing thoughts that vibrate at a level that is not in harmony with your greater knowing. Negative emotion is always present when your body is being negatively attracted to, you see. Mm-hmm. And so the key to all of this is to look for more reasons to feel good, and to be disciplined enough in your thought that you are feeling good more of the time. Just be pickier about what you think about. You're picky about what you eat. You're picky about what you wear. You're picky about the car that you drive. Why not be picky about the thought that you hold that vibrates, that powerful magnetic thought that attracts unto you? We would say it is worth being a little bit picky about that thought.
Sure.
Don't monitor your thoughts. That will drive you crazy. But pay attention to the way you feel. And if you find yourself feeling negative emotion, then change the thought until the emotion changes to that of positive.
When I use the term maturation, I think in terms of, say, an acorn that becomes an oak tree that grows, that produces acorns.
Good.
And then et cetera.
Good.
So it's a natural thing.
Absolutely.
As far as I see it. in the non-physical form, in other words, in your experience, is there a maturation process too?
Certainly. We would define maturation, as you are using it, in your terms, to our terms of eternal evolving or eternal becoming, eternal growth. In other words, we are continually becoming more by virtue of that which we have lived.
There's no ending points, just...
That is the difference between non-physical and physical. With physical, you have more decided endings. In other words, the birth being a very decided beginning and what you call death being a very decided ending. From our perspective, we just see that as a segment of life experience.
Like changing from puberty, in other words, to adulthood.
Or even from our perspective, changing from one thought to another. In other words, it is really not as dramatic from our broader perspective, not nearly so much dramatic as it is from your physical perspective.
Now, deterioration is, of course, different than maturation, but for some reason, most people in our culture expect the physical body to deteriorate during that process of maturation.
That is because most physical beings deteriorate before they die. In other words, you do not allow yourselves to have a glorious physical experience and then make a new decision and move from physical to non-physical without the negative. Let us be clear about that. Most physical beings take all action, almost all action. We will qualify it just a bit. But the majority of action is taken from a perspective of lack. You see something not going the way you want it to go, and then you take action in order to try to compensate or in order to make it better. And so the death experience for most of our physical friends is just more of the same. Taking the action of death in order to try to fit. In other words, you're too sick to go on, or you're too old to go on, or life is no longer pleasurable enough to go on.
I keep relating to our culture, but our culture is such that at this point in time, there's a concern for anyone that doesn't have medical insurance. I hear it on the media, how terrible and horrible it is if someone, for some reason, doesn't have health insurance. Well, I don't believe in health insurance because I believe it's planning for something that I don't want to happen. And when I plan for things, they generally happen. So I don't carry it because I don't expect anything negative to happen to my body. But what would you suggest to a person as some process that would be appropriate insofar as their thoughts through which the body can evolve and mature all the way up till they decide to leave, but without any deterioration along the way, but just purely maturation?
The issue of insurance is a very big one, for in order to understand it, you would have to understand the motives behind those who are primarily initiating it, you see. And again, we say that most take that action from their place of lack. In other words, and it usually leads to more that they do not want. As you have said, you are very wise when you say you are not going to encourage moving towards something that you are not wanting to expect. Mm-hmm. It is that guardedness, so to speak. And that is perhaps the most important point that we will make here upon this recording. Most of our physical friends stand in a place of absolute guardedness. You are defending against the things that you do not want. You have been convinced that you are vulnerable and that you are aging and that there are all sorts of things that will sneak up and get you. And so from that place of defensiveness, from that place of feeling vulnerable, you attract more of the things that you do not want. Now, when you ask for a process to keep that from occurring,
yes,
what we are wanting you to understand is that you live by virtue of a powerful law, law of attraction. There is no such thing as law of assertion. In other words, cancer cannot assert itself into your experience. Nothing can assert itself into your experience. You are on all levels under all conditions and upon all subjects, the attractor of your experience.
you attract by virtue of the thought that you are thinking. And so as you emerge into a culture that believes in vulnerability and that warns you and speaks of guardedness from the day that you arrive, and as you begin to think those thoughts, then you become the attractor by virtue of those thoughts you think of those sorts of things. However, you never do it without your guidance system warning you about what you're doing. In other words, you never think about cancer or about getting too old to take care of yourselves without feeling tremendous negative emotion. And that negative emotion is the indicator that this thought of vulnerability that you're holding is not in harmony with your greater knowing.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to sit on your foot and restrict the flow of blood, your foot would turn blue and it would become very uncomfortable. If you were to put a tourniquet around your neck and restrict the oxygen, your head would turn blue and it would be very debilitating to your apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
And in like manner, when you think thoughts that vibrate at frequencies that are not in harmony with your greater knowing, you literally stifle or hinder that life force that is flowing between you and your inner being, between you and the inner world or the non-physical world. And the result is that your physical body deteriorates. That is what illness is. It's the separation from health. It is a separation from that which your inner being knows to be. And so the process for being healthy is not to defend against illness. The process for being healthy is to relax and bask in the feeling of health.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good in terms of your physical body, feeling physically good, is synonymous with feeling good in terms of feeling emotionally good, you see. And so we would say the surest way to health is to look for things to think about that make you feel good. Look for things to talk about that make you feel good. Look for action that brings forth that good feeling. We are wanting to state very emphatically here that there is not a physical body, no matter what the degree of deterioration, that cannot find perfect health. We cannot speak that powerfully enough. It is not some germ or some disease that has asserted itself into your experience that has control. You have control. And your physical body is responding only to the balance of thought within you.
Mm-hmm.
If the balance of thought within you is one of lack, so that you are continually feeling negative emotion, then you are cutting off your own life force. And the way to reverse that is to make a very determined decision to begin looking for reasons to feel good. And every time you find something to feel good about, that thought will vibrate at a frequency that will attract another thought, that will attract another thought, that will attract another thought, until you will continue to raise your own vibrational frequency until you will again be back into alignment with your own inner being.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of you have not been in alignment with your inner being since you were infants. The pressing influence that has surrounded you has been dominating your thoughts.
Correct.
And you have been giving so much more of your thought toward the lack of what you want, toward the lack of what you know from a broader level, that your bodies have continually been degenerating until eventually you have some sort of a physical manifestation, a ruptured this or a collapsed that or a lump on this. And what we are saying to you is you can return yourself to that which you consider to be a perfect state of well-being if you will turn your attention toward well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You must find that balanced place where you feel good. And when you do, you will find your health.
I want to address the issue of aging. There have been, and there are still, cultures in which the elders are honored. But we currently live in a culture where, by many, the older persons are seen as a burden and in the way of progress, and so they're set aside or they set themselves aside. And now I know there are notable exceptions, but in general, the expectancy of aging is not accepted comfortably or joyously. And so my question is, from your perspective, what is an attitude to take or to consider taking in order to live 120 years, let's say, in this culture, in health, with value to self and in joy?
The first thing we would say to you is you must release your desire for approval of others. Because as long as you are letting the way others feel about you affect you, you will always be in an out-of-balance situation because they are all wanting something different from you. And so first, you must release your concern about what anybody else thinks. Next, we would say to you, nobody else has to figure this out in order for it to be your experience. And then we would say, all that is required in order for you to live 120 years or 220 years, or as long as you are wanting to remain here in this physical body in a healthy state of being, all that is required is that you find your balanced place of joy.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, that brings a point up, too. My grandfather, as far as I know, Grandpa Hicks was the first happy person I ever knew, and one of the few really happy people I've ever known in my life that I would judge as happy. Then at 65, that's an interesting thing, too, because I used to think that he was happy because people liked him so much. But then after meeting you and understanding the processes, I realized that people liked him so much because he was happy.
Good.
Well, when he was 65, he married again, changed careers again, started a new life again, had a new baby again. And then along the way, one Christmas morning, he slipped and hit his hip on the storm cellar and got just a bruise. But he said, I'll be with God tonight. And he said, the only regret I have is that I can't spend more time with Larry, give more to his little son, who was 9 years old at the time. So all the time I knew him, whatever transition, he always seemed joyous and he always seemed comfortable with the transition and like felt he was in charge of it. My question here is, why was it that he knew that he was going to die that evening when he didn't appear to the others as ill or anything, and it wasn't anything major, just a bruise on his hip? And number two, why was it that he didn't expect or envision in any way anyone helping him to not die that evening?
He is an example of one of the very rare few who was ready, really ready, to make the transition. And he is also one of the very few who did not make the transition from a negative position of lack. In other words, he was not unhappy in his now. He was just joyously moving toward that which was to come next. And at a very deep level, he sensed that, you see.
He sensed that this was the day that he was...
That is correct.
Oh. That's really interesting.
The slipping was attracted by virtue of that decision. In other words, if you will think back, you may recall a very clear decision on his part that he would be productive to his last days and that he would not be decrepit or old or uncomfortable. And he had set forth that intention for a very long time. And then something had begun to creep into his conscious awareness. Again, it is the society hammering away, saying you are old, or their disapproval of the old. And so much disapproval he experienced as a result of this new marriage and this new baby.
There was a lot
with
of that.
So many speaking about his agedness and his foolishness at encountering new experience in the way that he had chosen it. And so those influence had begun to work upon him a little bit, which had brought forth within him a renewed decision that I will not die old and tired. And so he attracted something that was very swift, and he recognized it in the moment of the attraction of it because it was in harmony with an intent that he had set forth.
Hmm. When I was about maybe 5 or 6 years old, I had a little book. I think it was called Aesop's Fables or something like that. And it had the story of this man and his wife and their donkey, and they were carrying a load of wood through a little town. And the villagers said, isn't that awful that woman's having to walk? And she could be riding on that donkey. So the man put his wife on the donkey, and they're going on through the village, and someone says, isn't that terrible that donkey's having to carry that woman and the wood? So the man carried the wood with his wife on the donkey to please the people. And they were going a little further through the village, and someone said, isn't that terrible? That man's carrying that wood, and that donkey could be carrying that wood. So the man got on the donkey with the wood on his back, and his wife's on the donkey, and they crossed a little bridge, and it crashed through, and they all drowned. And the moral of the story was you can't please everybody. Somehow that caught my attention even when I was a very, very small child. And that's a major lesson you've been teaching us, isn't it?
It is a very important one, because there are so many others who hold different sets of intentions that seek action from you. And if you are looking for others for approval or for guidance, most of you find yourself in a tremendous state of confusion. All of you discovered your own guidance system, and that your guidance system is tied directly to your joy. Mm-hmm. And when you become one who seeks joy, so much so that every thought and every word and every action is contemplated from the perspective of wanting joy, then you find yourself truly in balance with who you really are, and the evolving, growing, uplifting, joyous, free being that you are, and that you have come here to experience in this physical format.
Perhaps you can unravel another little puzzle for me. When I, when people come to me and say they're dying, or that someone they know is dying, I usually, almost smart alecky, I say, well, we're all dying. From the time we were born, we're dying, because that's where we're progressing there. But again, the question here is the thing that I don't quite understand. Why it is it that even though we're well aware that our bodies are all going to, as we say, return to dust, why is it that there's such a negative emotion occurs whenever any tentative date is set for that end? You know, go ahead.
It is fear of unknown, in other words. And again, at the very basis of that is the belief that you are here to prove yourselves worthy of something, and then another belief that you have not yet done it.
Right.
And so suddenly you're running out of time. You have this one lifetime, many have said to you, that you are here to prove yourselves worthy, and most of you begin taking stock of what you've accomplished or where you now stand relative to all of this confusion of what you should or shouldn't do that's been offered to you, and most of you just feel inadequate and not yet ready to depart because you simply have not finished it, at least not finished it appropriately.
So would the resolution to that be something to the effect of see ourselves in a state of becoming and perfect at every point along the way and figure wherever we are, we've done just fine?
Certainly, that is what we would like each of you to understand, but our wanting you to feel that does not necessarily mean that you can easily feel it.
Of course
not. Physical programming has been very strong. What we would say to you is, if you will not try so hard to figure everything out all at once, and you will listen a little more keenly to your own guidance system, take things a little bit more slowly, and be easier about yourselves. Look for your own positive aspects, and look for the positive aspects in others more, so that you are feeling positive emotion more of the time. Mm-hmm. Then, by the natural process of a law of attraction, your vibrational frequency will raise to the place that you will begin attracting more of the things that you are wanting. And then you will not be in such a place of lack where you're trying to fix everything from that place of lack.
Well, here's, maybe this is a big question, but is this something that people feel is unfinished? Is that just a kind of an individual, general thing with people, all of us, or is there something that is there some more or less overall purpose or overall intention that we're wanting to achieve before we leave physical or while we're here physical?
There is a natural sense that you have come here for purpose.
Right.
Because you look around and you see that you're here, and so it doesn't make sense that you're not here for some reason. But so many reasons have been offered to you, and most of them conflicting with each other, that most of you are very unsure about why you are here. We are wanting you to understand that the only way that you can ever understand why you are here is to reconnect with your broader knowingness, to reconnect with your inner being that remembers why you came forth.
So it's not an answer that you can give to 5 billion people. It's an answer that 5 billion people will find for themselves?
That is a very good way of stating it, although we can point you in a general direction.
Where to get the answer.
And that is, we know without exception that you have come forth into these physical bodies to add to all that is.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we know that from the broadness of non-physical, that the physical experience is very pointed and very defined, very refined. If you could take a broad spectrum of light
and cast it into a very narrow beam, as you do with your laser, or even with a magnifying glass, you understand the power of the specifics, the power of the specifics of an experience. And your physical experience is just that. You have very specifically entered into this time and place in order to become more than you were before. You said, I will chew upon the data of this time and place, and then I will allow the broadness of my knowingness to shine through me, to add unto. Non-physical is not complete, waiting for you to catch up. Your existence here in this body is adding unto the evolution of all that is.
If I've had a miserable physical experience up until yesterday this time, but in the last 24 hours I've had a wonderful, joyous experience, the first 24 hours of joy in this total lifetime, is this lifetime kind of a waste because I've spent so many years in misery? Am I achieving my purpose by when I feel like I've achieved my purpose, even if I've only felt it one day?
Everything that you are living is of value. If you could see the physical experience that you're living through the eyes of your broader being,
okay,
you would understand that even when you experience what you do not want, it is a clarifying experience. In other words, having an experience that you don't like brings you to a clearer understanding of what you do like. And your inner being, from its broader perspective, has the option of receiving from you the positive or the negative aspects of what you are living. And so we say to you, everything that you have lived and are living is of value. Mm.
Okay, if a fear of death is of no value...
It certainly isn't. Fear of anything is of no value.
And if a desire to die, of course, could be deadly, what's a healthy attitude that we can have toward our transition from this emergence into physical, on through this physical experience, and then back into this unbodied state of being?
I am an internal being, and I am forever eternally focused somewhere. When I am in this physical body, I have the ability to be focused in a very explicit, very defined physical experience. And when I am not in this body, I have the ability to focus into that which I am giving my attention to from non-physical perspective. In other words, there is no ending to that which I am.
That's nice.
As you see yourself in this body, you are a husband, you are a father, you are a friend, you are a juggler, you are a musician, you are an author, you are a magnificent creator upon many topics. And all of them do not have your attention at any one point in time. And so it is from your broader non-physical perspective. Now part of that perspective is shining through this physical apparatus, not all of it, but part of it. And at the time that this perspective is complete, that focus will be withdrawn and it will reemerge into the broader non-physical perspective.
I'm going to ask you kind of a question that others would probably have asked right about this point. So if we lose our fear of death or have less fear of death, will we be more apt to have an accidental death? Or will we get careless?
Not necessarily. Fear of death, what are you getting at? Do you believe
I think there's a concern of people say, well, if I don't have an apprehension about dying, will I not thrust myself into an early death somehow? Is not my fear of death saving me from death?
Fear is still attention too. Whatever you are giving your attention to is what you are attracting. If you are giving your attention to joyful life, you are living joyful life. If you are giving your attention to fearful death, then it is likely that you will attract the very thing that you have given your attention to.
I used to say, my goal when I decide to leave, that's when I was an acrobat, I'll go to the top of the tallest building in some major city and I'll just see how many somersaults I can turn over before I hit the street down below. I thought that would be a good closing act, so to speak, a productive one, because I'd done more somersaults than anyone else had ever done in succession. I was pretty serious about that in a way, but tell me, what would you suggest, or could you, as the perfect death experience? What would be, you see, the perfect way to go out of physical into non-physical?
The perfect death experience is the acknowledgement that there is no death, that there is only eternal, everlasting life. And so we would stay joyously focused upon the positive aspects of that which we are living. And at the point that we recognize that we had gleaned all from this physical experience that we were currently wanting, we would make a new decision, and that would be, I am now wanting to reemerge back into the non-physical. I am wanting to now don my fuller, broader, non-physical perspective. And we would release. Now, you can release by jumping from the top of a building, or you can release by closing your eyes and falling into deep slumber with the intent of awakening in the non-physical.
I've heard of people who had great mind control who have done that.
You see, when you awaken in the morning, you are literally re-emerging back into the physical. And so a very comfortable death would simply be to go to sleep and not re-emerge back into the physical, but stay focused into the non-physical.
So you can do it consciously, or you can die by default, then, can't you, in the sense of the word?
Certainly. All things are that way.
I know when my dad was leaving, he showed me these pills that he had, and he said he had them hidden under his pillow because the nurse would give him to go to sleep each night or to ease the pain. And he said, well, I decided if it gets too bad, I'll just take all these at once. But as far as I don't know how he did, if he didn't or not. But he had made a decision to either just let it run its course and die that way, or to do it on purpose. But he did know he was on the way at that time.
You see, the death experience is the agreement between the physically focused being and the non-physical counterpart.
That's like coming in, then.
What we are most wanting you to hear from us is that in order to have anything that you want, even if it is death, resisting it or worrying about it, and you are always resisting when you are feeling negative emotion,
right,
is not the way to have it. The way to have what you are wanting is to relax into it, to allow it, to focus upon the positive aspects of it, and then from your positive place, expect it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what we are saying?
I sure do. Abraham, I've visited with non-physical beings in a variety of ways through the years that were in a variety of states of being, and many of the states of being were not being states that I would choose for my own experience. Tell me, what can we expect life to be like, say, immediately after we leave in our physical bodies, and is there any form of progress that can be expected from that, or do we go right into how it's going to be? Could you clear that up for me?
Every experience is different because the set of intentions that you hold is a very great variable. But without exception, when the focus is withdrawn from the physical, or as you say, when you die, there is an immediate sense of broadness and an immediate recognition of broader perspective. Now, the comfort of reemerging back into the physical varies from individual to individual, depending upon how harmonious you were with your inner being when you were in your physical body at the time of the death. In other words, someone who has been looking for positive aspects and has been resonating predominantly with positive emotion for much of their physical experience, or even much of the physical time just prior to the death, would have a very easy transition. While someone who was resisting every step of the way, feeling much negative emotion, would naturally have a more difficult time reemerging back into the non-physical. But we are talking about very little transitional time, because as soon as the physical focus is withdrawn, the non-physical focus becomes dominant. And so whatever the condition of the non-physical counterpart is, that becomes the experience of the physical being who is now re-emerging into the non-physical counterpart. From your physical perspective, we would say to you, don't worry about it. It is always wonderful. And it is our absolute promise to you that once you die, you will understand what we mean when we say there is no reason to fear death. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. There is great love here for you.
Thank you.
We are complete.
Okay. Very, very good.
This is the end of Side A of the dialogue on death and deterioration. Please turn the cassette over and we'll continue with the dialogue. Actually, this next 45 minutes is from a session that we did with a group of friends at a kind of a little resort in Salado, Texas some years ago, where we just concentrated on this one subject for that period of time.